Proverbs chapter 31. And would you please stand with me as we read just two verses, Proverbs 31, please. Proverbs 31, verses 11 and 12. I want to draw your attention to those two verses. Let's go to verse 10. Let's look at three verses. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Thank you, and you may be seated. Probably many of you do not realize, but many artists take long time for them to paint portraits. For example, when you read of the background to the great painting that was painted by the French artist Ernest Meissner, you find that painting of Napoleon in that Battle of Friedland, it took him 13 years to paint that painting. Most of us don't realize, but the Italian painter Leonardo da Vinci took 3 years to paint the famous Last Supper, and it took him 7 years to paint the Mona Lisa. It took Michelangelo 4 years to paint the Sistine Chapel. So just so you know, that a painting just doesn't happen overnight. It's not like a picture. We snap a picture, but an artist has to take time to paint. And it's also true for, in a real sense, a mother. You see, a mother is painting a portrait. She paints that portrait of what a mother is to her children every day for up to 18 years or longer. She's painting a portrait. The children are looking. It's imprinting into their lives what a mother is all about. They're watching. They're looking. They're observing. And I'm not surprised, but it's been said that many daughters have become very much like their mothers. And it's also been said that many a young man has married a wife very much like his mother. In this passage of Scripture, we notice here that God has outlined 22 qualities that make up a godly mother. Now, what is interesting is if you study this passage out, you will notice that in these 22 qualities, that it goes to, if you would please, can you help us with that phone? That'd be great. The 22 qualities, we notice here that in the Hebrew, if you were to read it from the Hebrew, you would notice that it starts with all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which they have 22. The reason why they have chosen that there be 22 is because of the completeness, the quality. It's been said that a young lady, if she wants to learn how she's to be when she becomes a wife, and the kind of person that would please the Lord, she would look to Proverbs 31. And it's been said that if a man, a young man, was to look for the qualities that he would want in a wife, he would look at Proverbs 31. And for a mother, if a mother wants to know how to exemplify godliness in her home, she would look at Proverbs 31. Because Proverbs 31 shows how a mother is painting a portrait, an artwork to her children. I want to give you just what I'm going to say. Well, there's several qualities here. I'm going to pick out four outstanding qualities. And the first quality I want you to notice is found in verses 11 and 12. It's the quality of trust. It's the quality of trust. And certainly we can all understand how important trust is. It's the foundation of all relationships. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that our relationship with God Himself, begins with trust. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And we understand that God is concerned about trust, but something I notice here, that this trust is centered around, for the lady, the godly lady, around her relationship to her husband. Did you notice in verse 11 and verse 12, it says that a husband can trust in his wife in his heart. And there's some reasons for that. I want you to notice something, her commitment. She is committed to this relationship. You know, I'm always amazed about how when I go out here and I meet people and we start talking about homes and families and marriages and all the other things, how people just don't understand the biblical concept of what God says about marriage and what God says about the home and what God says about the family and what God says about relationships. And even also, what about, where are the godly ladies that are out here in the world? I think we have some very godly ladies here in our church, and I'm very glad of that. But the Bible said that her price is far above rubies. The virtuous means that this is a woman who has her spirit under control, that she is now allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in her life, and she knows how to be industrious and also how to be a helpmeet to her husband. The scriptures make that very clear. The idea of virtuous is the idea of courage and strength. In fact, we find some examples of that in scripture when you talk about a virtuous woman, a woman who has that quality, that because she can be trusted because of her virtue. The scripture said, for example, in Genesis 34:29, it says, "And all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives he took captive and spoiled, even all that was in the house," speaking of their strength. And then he talks about courage when he speaks in reference to David as the great leader who was influenced as a mighty man, and it uses that idea, the very term of strength. But what I want you to notice, something interesting. I said she has a commitment. Her commitment is to her responsibility as a wife and as a mother. It is really interesting because the word, this idea of how that her husband trusts in her, goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 19. The Bible said that it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a what? What does the Bible say? A help meet. A help meet. Now, some people have thought that the word help meet has the idea of a woman being subservient to her husband. And so we talk about, you know, about men being the leaders, it's like a lady's to be subservient, and that is, nothing can be further from the truth. That is not biblical. Let me explain. Because if you notice here, even in Genesis chapter 2, if you go back and read that passage, you would find that, is it not so, that God made the woman out of the rib and not out of the foot or out of the head? And what is really fascinating to me about this, and I studied this out, I got really excited about this because it's so twisted by society. And what the idea is, the word means to be an ally. In other words, that the wife is to be an ally to her husband. And you say, well, how does that work? Well, see, the idea of help means that we're to help. That we're to be an ally. And the idea that for the woman to be an ally, she is taking the position that of being a helper to her husband, an ally to her husband, as they serve God together. And lest we think that's confusing to us, realize that that is the very same thing that we find in the Psalms, that God is called, the very exact same Hebrew word of being a helpmeet, he is called a helper to mankind. For example, in Psalm chapter 30, in verse number 10, I'll read it for you. It says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." Same word as a helpmeet in Genesis 2, verse 19. And Psalm 54:4 says this, "Behold, God is mine helper." And so what in essence is what it's saying is this, that a woman, a godly woman, understands in her virtue of what she is and how God has made her, is that she is able to be an ally to her husband, and she's committed to be an ally to her husband. But then we notice her conduct. Because in the passage, he outlines the conduct of this lady, and he says she conducts herself in such a way that her husband has confidence in her. He has no question about her integrity. He has no question about her chastity. He doesn't have to worry about whether or not what she's doing or what she might be doing, that her life, according to verse 12, she's about doing good. She's all about trying to help others and encourage others and strengthen others and show a godliness wherever she goes. In fact, women like that, as Matthew Henry says, the more rare such good wives are, the more they are valued. I like that. Because I begin to think about you know, women who are godly. And I was wondering, well, who in the Bible can we understand that would fit this criteria? And we understand it's Ruth in the Scriptures. In fact, if you were to study this out, you would go back and look at all the qualities, the 22 qualities that's found in Proverbs 31. They would go all the way back to Ruth's life. You could see every one of them in her life. You might say, what's so significant about that? Because, you see, Ruth was a pagan. Ruth did not, she was not growing up in Israel. She didn't understand all that. She was a Moabite. She was influenced by a polytheistic or many gods society, a society that cared nothing about the Lord Jehovah. And so what happened is through the influence of her mother-in-law, Ruth put her faith in trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. She was a godly woman. And what she did was she began to grow in her faith. Her commitment to God, she began to grow. And what God is saying to us is, it doesn't matter whether you grow up in a Christian home, or whether you grow up in a non-Christian home, or whether you've been saved and you know, since you were a young person, or you just recently trusted Christ as Savior, and you're trying to figure it all out. What God is saying is that if you're committed to be what God wants you to be, He can work in your life in such a way you can be what He wants you to be. And I am so thrilled as I look at what God's doing in the lives of people around me. I'm watching how God's working in your life, and I'm excited about that. But keep this in mind. Trust is important. It's foundational. It is so vital to the Christian life. So here we find, number one, that here is a lady that she can be trusted. I mean, we read on the other parts of the Scripture where it says, you know, she's not a spendthrift. She doesn't go out and just, you know, spend away frivolous money and waste away her money. She is one who supports and understands and loves her family, and she can be trusted with things of value. But let me take you down to verse number 20. I want you to look at the second quality. The first quality is that of trust, foundation to all relationships. The second quality is compassion. Now, I don't know of a mother who is not compassionate. It's amazing to me when even my wife, now my wife is a heavy sleeper. I mean, when she goes to sleep, she's gone. And you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, I think you could drive a train through the bedroom, she wouldn't know it. As long as it didn't hit her, she's sound asleep, she's good to go. But I will tell you this about my wife. When we had our babies, I mean, she could hear if they rolled over in the bed, in the room next to her. There's just something about that, that compassion, that care, that concern. And you ladies, that, you know, I admire that in you. And you know, and I know it's not like men don't care either, but we maybe show it in a different way. But the compassion of a mother, I mean, it's an amazing thing. And we see here of a lady who has so much compassion. Notice what it says. It says she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She has compassion. She's selfless. I've seen and understand how mothers are selfless. You have to be a mother. Amen. I mean, I've seen mothers give up their food for their babies. I mean, selfless. But I want to tell you something, that there's people beyond your household that needs also your compassion. Do you realize, ladies, that what you do and how you handle your selflessness is influencing and imprinting in the life of your children how they deal with people themselves? Truly an amazing thing. I mean, the Bible says here she's giving back. She's literally serving the poor. She's willing to say, you know what, I'm going to stretch out my hand. I'm going to help those in need. And I don't know about you, but maybe sometime you might have been like I've been. I've been in places where I've come across people who were homeless or whatever the case is. And sometimes, you know, when you run into people like that, you know, it makes you thankful for where you are. But sometimes it's like, you know what, I just don't know if I can help those people. I don't know what I can do. I know that in past we've had city meetings and they would ask pastors to come and I would go, and we want to try to help the homeless. And what can we do before they built the Bridge of Life Center out here? What can we do? What can we do to help? And we really genuinely want to help. We want to make sure that we get them the help that they need. Do they need a job? And can we help them get that job and get a place to stay? We try to transitional housing. Our church has done that. We've sent families to places like that. We try how to help people from living on the street to get a job, to have a house. And we try to do all of those kind of things. And we understand that. And that's just reaching out. That's caring. That's showing care. The Bible says here that here it is reaching out and wanting to show care. And then we talk about doing that. Sometimes people will say something like this, but you know, I've tried to help people, but when I get around those people, you know, there's the smell sometimes. Or sometimes it's, you know, there's a disconnect. I don't know how to handle that. And preacher, you're saying that we ought to help people, and I don't really get how we help people. Can I tell you something? Jesus helped the poor. In fact, here's what the Bible says. Let me tell you how this works. Are you ready? Jesus became poor for our sakes that we might be made rich. You know what God is saying, really? And just like he says, as you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. I think how you handle the poor here tells me something about how you handle Jesus, because Jesus was poor so you could be rich. There's a selflessness there. And God is showing us that a compassionate person is one who is not concerned about what people might say, or if I knock on the door that someone would listen to me, or that I might go help them and maybe they might hurt me, or that, you know, that I might embarrass myself in helping or something like that, or you know, worst case scenario is that maybe I might come home and maybe I hugged them and they had a smell and that smell is now on me, or whatever the case is. Oh, that's so wrong. Here's what God says. God says a godly mother understands the compassion of being selfless, and as that selflessness is seen in their lives, it's leaving and painting a picture for children on how we handle those in the future. And more importantly, how do we handle Jesus Christ, who became poor for us? This is not mechanical. This is not religious. It's not something I work up. This is something that God puts in my heart. And I think of folks who are in such need in our community, who need Jesus Christ. Not just those who are out on the streets, but those everywhere, they need Jesus Christ. Reminds me of a mother. One man said this, and we don't know who wrote it, but it says this: a mother is one who understands the things you say and do, who always overlooks your faults and sees the best in you. A mother is one whose special love inspires you day by day, who fills your heart with gladness in her warm and thoughtful way. A mother is all these things and more, the greatest treasure known, and the dearest mother in all of the world is the one I call my own. Here is a selfless, compassionate,
quality of a mother. But then there's the sacrificial part. No doubt about it that many a mother has had to sacrifice some sleep for her children. Many a mother has had to give up things in her life so that she can help nourish and care and look after her children. I've seen many a mother go with tattered clothes just so that her children can have diapers. I've seen many a mother has had to go without so many of her necessities so that her children can have their needs met. Sacrificial. That's what compassion is. First two qualities, trust, compassion. Let me give you the third quality. Notice in this passage, verse number 25, it's the quality of character. Look at verse 25, if you would, please, and notice. He says here, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Character. Something missing today. Something that is lacking in many people's lives is character. I like people of character. I think character is an important quality. I think it's a missing ingredient. Character. One man has said this about character. He says, the test of your character is what does it take to stop you? What does it take to stop you? Because notice one part of this character is found in verse 25, strength. Man, I've seen some. I told my wife, I said, I don't really quite understand how women. The other day, my wife and I, we were out soul winning, I think. And here I saw a lady doing this. This was an amazing thing. I saw this. I want to get a video or a picture of it. But she probably would have thought I'm a weirdo or something, okay? You know. But here's what she was doing. She had a baby strapped to her front. You know, like one of those papoose type things. And it was like, you know, it was a big baby. It wasn't like a little one. It was a big one. And she was pushing a stroller with a backpack. How she did that, I don't know. Maybe the backpack was balancing out the weight of the baby in the front. But she was pushing the stroller. And I asked my wife, I said, how in the world do they do that? You know, the Bible says that women are supposed to be the weaker vessel. I don't think so. I'm not sure how to interpret that. Because I'm not sure I could have done that. I would have thought, man, my back would be broke. And my wife says, yeah, but have you noticed when they get older, they start walking like this? And of course, she was just kidding, you know. But the point of the matter is, there's great strength. But we're not talking about physical strength. We're talking about strength of character. A mother imprints and paints for their child character. Let me tell you how that works. Character says that when they call on the phone and you don't want to talk, don't say, tell them I'm not here. That'd be a mistake. Teaching your children lying. Always teach them respect and honor. If you don't want to talk, just say, I can't talk right now. You see, character is teaching our children what to say. Character teaches our children to say thank you when someone does something for you. Character, and I know you guys say, oh, we live in California. It doesn't matter. I don't think manners have ever gone out. I think the problem is we're trying to throw character out when character needs to be built in the home. Don't wait until they're 18 to try to teach character. Start when they're little, like the ones we just saw up here. Teach them to say thank you and no thank you. Teach them how to conduct themselves, how to look at adults in their eyes when they talk to them. How am I doing today? Am I preaching? You guys follow what I'm saying? I mean, really, that's what it's all about is, you know, shake a gentleman's hand, look him in the face, teach him what is right. And then later down the road when he gets a little bit older, teach him how to pull the chair out for a lady and how to address a lady properly and how to open the door for a lady and all of those kind of things and how you handle yourself around people. I mean, where in the world have we lost that in America? It's not the church's job. It's not the school's job. Where they learn that is in the home. Amen and amen. Character. That's the strength he's talking about and how important that so much is in these days in which we just don't understand that. In fact, the Bible says of this woman that she was a worker. You know, sometimes we read this, we say, well, she probably just stayed home and, you know, kept house and all that. No, she worked out in the fields. Verse number 16 speaks of the fact that she worked out in the fields. She's considered a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. So she worked during the day. And then, strangely enough, in the same passage it says she stayed up late at night. She wove clothing. She was making clothing. I mean, we don't have time to dissect the entire passage. The point is, she understood. She was a strong person of strong character. But then secondly, did you notice honor? Honor. How important honor is. Honor means that she cared about how she looked and what she did and how she handled herself. She did care. This honor, in fact, in verse number 28, notice, she was such an honorable woman, the Bible says in verse 28, her children arise up and call her what? Blessed. Her children recognize the honor that she has. This past week, like many of you, I was absolutely shocked by the escape of these three girls that have been kidnapped. Maybe some of you might have seen it on the news. I was shocked. These three girls have been captive for 10 years. And you know, as they made their way out the door and they had the courage and the strength and the fortitude to go out, it was really an amazing thing as they broke through the door and they got out and the neighbors helped them and all of that kind of thing. I just couldn't believe. And what the strangest thing is in the interview is the fact that as they begin to interview people and put all in the news and everything about the different interviews, about how that Ariel Castro, who was the kidnapper, the accused kidnapper, how that he was like a normal guy. That everybody just thought he was normal. They would have never thought of him. He was a nice guy. In fact, his reputation was the kind of guy that you would have thought was, you know, man, he's just a great, great neighbor, a good guy. Everybody got along with him. I love the guy that lived across the street. The hero guy. You know, he was a man of character. I can't remember his name. What was it? Ramsey. That was his name. Love that guy. Did you hear what he said? They were going to give him an award money. He said, give it to them. They're the ones that deserve it. Man, give me some people like that. Character. But what's really interesting is that here's what I'm trying to drive at. Someone has said this, that reputation is what men know you to be, but character is what God knows you to be. In other words, God knows what's in your heart. God knew all along that this man was doing those things. Just to let you know, the only thing I can think of when that happened was, be sure your sin will find you out. Right. And here we, when we understand that as character is so lacking in America, I'm going to tell you where we need to reinstill it. We need to go back to the home and let the mothers begin to paint the picture of character. They need to paint it for their children so that they can understand how important character is as they teach them to sit at a table and sit up properly and use manners and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, when appropriate. And I know that's not always appropriate, but when it is, and how to conduct themselves in such a way, not to lie and cheat and steal and all the other things, that they would teach them right. And I realize that when they become adults, they make their choices, but as we've imprinted and instilled in them, hopefully they understand the importance of character and doing right. And moms, you have a huge, huge, major impact on your children when it comes to character. So we have trust, and trust is important. We have compassion. We have character, but there's one more. Godliness. Look at verse 30. You know, so the Bible says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know what the key to greatness is? Not a pristine, classy-looking person who stands out on the outside. Because the Bible said that that kind of person, you know, beauty is vain. In other words, one day beauty will begin to give way to age. But what it's saying is this: what really will last is godliness in a heart. Now, where does this start? First of all, there has to be faith in the Lord. Letter A, faith in the Lord. I'm not talking about faith in a religion. How many people have said something like this to me? Well, you know, preacher, the truth matter is I'm a religious person. I said, great. It's always good to meet people who have a concern about spiritual matters, but spiritual matters and religion don't necessarily go together. We're not here about being religious. In fact, if you don't consider yourself religious, hang around us, you'll find we're not religious either. Because it's not religion. We're not about religion. We're not about being a Baptist or being a Presbyterian or Catholic or Episcopalian or whatever the case is. We're not about that. In fact, can I be honest with you? God's not about that either. You see, what we need to have is faith, not in a religion. Because a religion will not do anything for you. It will not take you to heaven. You need to have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. And what it means is when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I put my faith and absolute trust in Him, not in a church, not in a philosophy, not in a religious ritual like baptism or something like that, but when I put my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and ask Him to be my personal Savior, by doing that, what I have done is that I've said, Lord, You're the only way that I can go to heaven. There is no other way. I need You. That's the starting place of being godly. The Bible said that the virtuous woman here is a woman who understands that the greatest character of them all, and it's not that God left it out in the end as if it's unimportant. He just wanted to kind of finish it up by saying, if you say that I can't do all these things, you say, I can't be trustworthy, I can't be compassionate, I can't do these things. Once you realize, well, that is true, you can't, but with God, you can. And that's what He's doing. He's driving home the point how desperately we need the Lord Jesus. And then second of all, there's faithfulness unto the Lord. Once we put our faith and trust in Christ, we're to be faithful unto Him. A godly mother, a godly woman, a godly child, a godly husband, faithful unto the Lord. And what I mean by faithful is, can God count on you? Can God count on you? That's what I mean by faithful. In other words, can God count on you to be here tonight? I wonder how many in here that God can count on you to be here tonight. How about Wednesday? Can God count on you? Can God count on you to talk to your neighbor about Jesus? Can God count on you to raise your children right? Can God count on you to spend time in the Word? Can God count on you to handle your money right? Can God count on you to live for Him and be pure? Can God count on you? And what God says is when we have these characteristics, these qualities in our life, we begin to understand how important these are. Hey, there's so many more here. I could go through the whole 22 list, but it would take me weeks to do that. But just let me draw your attention in closing to the most important quality that I believe out of the 22 is this one right here, being godly. We need some godly people in America. We need to go back to God. Let me tell you who's counting on us. First and foremost, ladies, your husband's counting on you to be godly. Your husband's counting on you to be godly. Now, I know you ladies are counting on your husbands to be godly, and I agree with that too. But I want to tell you that that if what is true, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world is counting on you to be godly, ladies.
That the world is looking and saying, you know, we need some mothers that will rock the cradle, that will walk with God at the same time.
But not only that, but your children are counting on you. I can't begin to tell you how many children are looking for godly direction. And you're painting a picture. What kind of picture are you painting? I'm not talking about some character that makes fun of what I'm preaching about. I'm talking about a real, genuine, authentic, hand-signed portrait by mom of what the Christian life is all about. And one day, when you leave this world and go stand before the Lord, you'll be able to say, you know what? I've done what I can do. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what God's looking for. And that's what these qualities are. Let me tell you, the world's crying out for that, and so are children and the next generation. Heavenly Father,